When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
For a while, it all seemed to be going rather rosy for England. Rory Burns and Joe Root's partnership was exactly what was needed after the opening session was a washout, the pair putting on 141 after the early loss of night watchman Craig Overton. But this Australian attack, the exact same one that masterminded a 4-0 Ashes series win down under last time round, will never stop asking questions. The star today was Josh Hazlewood, who's been relentless since Lord's. Headingley may have been the Ben Stokes show, but the Aussie quick did take 9 wickets. There's been a sense of desperation with every ball he bowls, to show himself to be an undroppable, unstoppable force. Today he took all 4 England wickets in exhibition in the evening session, accounting for 3 of those. Bad light stop play and things are looking gloomy for England. They trail Australia by 297 runs with 5 wickets in hand. Tomorrow, Ben Stokes and Johnny Bairstow will have to bat, and keep batting. Hello and welcome to the Wisden Ashes Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Tahir Hashim. And I'm joined on the phone by Wisden.com's digital editor, Rich Evans, who's been taking in all the action at Old Trafford. Rich, first off, how good were Australia in that evening session?
They're obviously very, very strong, but it was mainly Josh Hazlewood. There aren't too many bowlers in the game who can bowl as accurate as he does, at the pace that he does. What I would say is that Australia, for the most part of the day, when obviously Burns and Root were on top, They just didn't attack the stumps enough. I think Crickviz had an interesting stat just before tea. They said, you know, Australia only bowled 13 balls that were actually going to hit the stumps. And obviously, Hazlewood just shows what you can do if you do test the stumps every now and then. Obviously, Jason Roy helped him out a bit. I'm sure we'll talk about him in a bit. But he really was on the top of his game. He's been really impressive this series, as has Pat Cummins. Cummins bowled, I think, 10 overs on the spin at one point, which is a little bit dangerous ahead of, in this kind of back-to-back test scenario. When Hazlewood came on to replace Cummins, he was just brilliant in that final hour or so.
Yeah, I guess it was mainly Josh Hazlewood and Pat Cummins. Mitchell Starc was bowling as well. This is a big test match for Mitchell Starc. I mean, he's not played the first 3 tests of this Ashes. He comes into the side. And for all the excellence of Hazlewood and Cummins, Starc was disappointing today. Hazlewood was trusted with 20 overs. Cummins bowled 17. Starc bowled 11 and conceded 41 and went wicketless. So, I mean, what did you think of Mitchell Starc?
Yeah, he was wayward, that's for sure. I think there was a spell when Rory Burns really rushed his way from 40 to 50, and that was largely due to the fact that Starc was bowling full tosses and just straying from his lines. He wasn't in great form today, that's for sure. Kind of surprising. I mean, he did okay in the Derbyshire game, and also you would have thought that the kind of quick fire 50 he got yesterday would have sort of given him a bit of confidence, having just sort of re-entered the side. But he didn't quite do enough today.
And Nathan Lyon as well. I mean, he went wicketless. I mean, he kept on finding turn and bounce, but I don't know, maybe he was slightly off in his lines. I mean, what did you think of Lyon? Because he had an excellent first test match. The last two test matches haven't gone well. We touched on this yesterday that obviously, you know, Headingley was horrific for him, a nightmare with what happened in the closing stages. And today, I thought he bowled okay, but you would have thought he might be the one taking the wickets.
He bowled okay, but you know, if you look at this test match, you look over the last two. I mean, at Lord's, combined figures of 3 wickets, 1 for 70. At Leeds, 2 for 116. Obviously, in that final day, Headingley, Australia really did need their spinner, and the spinner who, you know, many rate as arguably the best finger spinner in world cricket. And obviously, he bowled a lot of them overs against left-hander. Ben Stokes, and at times did look to be on top of Stokes, but obviously those figures, they're just not enough for, you know, a bowler that came into the series with everyone thinking, you know, Lyon would be a big asset for Australia, but he's just not done enough so far. In terms of bowling at root, I think he was trying to basically get him out caught on the leg side, the nearby fielders. And with Burns, I think he tested Burns a few times outside off when he bowled that kind of nagging length when Burns wasn't quite sure whether to go back or forward. But yeah, I think largely ineffective again. And I think it is a worry for Australia. But it does appear that, you know, especially with the conditions and the kind of fragile nature of England's batting lineup, that I fully expect Australia's fast bowlers to do the job over the next couple of days. I would also say that, you know, Jack Leach, since he came into the side for England at Lords, he's, you know, he's out bowled counterpart Lyon.
I have to say, you're sounding, you know, it seems all doom and gloom for Australia the way you're talking about their bowling lineup. But England are in a great position. But I guess that there, I mean, weirdly enough, there are still plenty of positives to talk about for England today. Rory Burns, Joe Root, you know, they both got runs. And Rory Burns, I mean, it's been Ben made a really good point on the podcast last night in that there's no harder, you know, is there a harder task for a batsman in world cricket right now than opening the batting in England? And Rory Burns is averaging 46 in this series now. It's been very difficult to associate those numbers with an opener in England for quite a few years. Him and Root did bat really well.
They did indeed. You know, very resilient. Root wasn't quite his sort of fluent self, but he did what needed to be done. Obviously, Rory Burns, we know he's capable of showing that resilience and that stubbornness in a similar way that England fans have grown used to with Alistair Cook at the top of the order. And I think he's made a very promising start to his international career. A lot of people look at his technique and say that he's probably not the prettiest batsman to watch in the land, but it's very difficult to play elegantly against the new ball in English conditions, and he stood up to the job. And I hope and I expect him to be batting at top for England for a number of years yet.
The other thing we do need to talk about is Jason Roy. Obviously, been Rory Burns' opening partner for the last few tests, but didn't open today. Didn't open yesterday. Joe Denley came in, was out for 4. And Jason Roy is someone England desperately want to become a top test player. But today, I mean, what did you think of today? Because the dismissal was ugly, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it's not the first time we've seen it. His stump splattered and a big gap between bat and pad. Look, in the press box when he walked out of bat and having faced his first few deliveries, you know, there was a lot of anxiety from the English writers and not a lot of expectation, to be honest. obviously we're hoping that he would have had a slightly better time of it at four. Didn't prove the case today. But I think it was the highest score going into today was 28. I think he got 22 today. He got off the mark with a glorious cover drive, but if you're a world-class bowler like Josh Hazlewood, especially with the form that Jason Roy is in now, you're going to be expecting to take his wicket sooner rather than later. I personally believe that, I know we're four tests in a five-match series, but you know, failing a real biggie from Jason Roy in England's second innings, I kind of think that the Roy experiment is over for now. What I would also say as well is obviously the plan was he was about four, obviously went in at five because of the night watchman situation. If Roy is going to be given a chance at number four regularly, I almost feel that it feels like it's a waste of a crucial batting position in the order, in the sense that many players would like and prefer to bat in that popular number four position, especially in England, trying to protect yourself from that newer ball. It just feels that maybe Joe Root should return to that position. And I know I keep talking about it, but I just think that Root has failed to get the best out of himself in this series. Obviously, going into the series, we thought that maybe the kind of head-to-head battle between Smith and Root would be a key one, and obviously there's only one emphatic winner in that. Now, that's not necessarily all Root's fault, because he's up against a living legend in the game.
But yeah, but I mean, it seems to be coming together now. I mean, he's got two half centuries in two innings after two ducks in a row. You know, Joe Root's been played around with in the order for quite a bit. I mean, by himself, of course, he is the captain. But I mean, you feel, you know, you can't get better than a batsman at Joe Root at number three in terms of the options England currently have. But in terms of number four, you know, there are other people there. I mean, Joe Denley did play well there. You know, there's Ollie Pope around, and if you are going to ditch Jason Roy, which also seems like a weird proposition. I mean, he's only just come into number four, well, number five, that is. And it's, I guess it's, you know, I guess it's a weird one.
Well, look, Root averages 39 at three, 49 at four. But probably the most telling sort of stat is the fact that he averages 71 at number five. So, you know, it does prove that he's at his best away from that new ball. Yeah.
And I guess I have just realised that I've ignored the fact that he did bat at four today. So
he did, indeed. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I wasn't playing pre-test, I'm sure, but that's where he ended up today. So I know it's always a problematic top order for England, but I think it's absolutely vital that you try to get the best out of your best players, and with England aren't doing that at the moment with Joe Root.
Yeah, and looking ahead to tomorrow, I mean, Ben Stokes has to do Ben Stokes things again, I imagine. How do you see the shaping up? Are England still in this? I mean,
well, I don't think we can expect quite the same heroics from Ben Stokes that he showed in Headley. I mean, you know, you're tempted to say it's a one-off, but with Stokes, it's not, because he's done two epic innings in the space of 7 weeks or so. Of course, he's capable of having a good day. Is he going to have such a good day that England are going to fight their way back into this game? I think it's a shame for England that the weather forecast looks set fair over the next few days. But look, I mean, Ben Stokes showed at Headley that he's capable of playing more than one type of innings, and probably certainly to start off with tomorrow. When he rejoins Johnny Best at the crease, you know, his task first up will just be to try to play out as many deliveries as possible, try to work himself back into the kind of form he showed in Headley. But we know that if England do lose a few more wickets and he's batting with the tail, then he can obviously go up a gear, and that's why he's a very, very impressive player, and you know, arguably England's most important player alongside Joe Root.
All right, well, you know, England fans will be hoping for another sensational knock from Ben Stokes tomorrow, I imagine. Of course, here we don't just talk about cricket. We do write about cricket too every day on wisdom.com and every month in the shape of Wisdom Cricket Monthly magazine. If you fancy giving the mag a go, you can get your first three copies, print or digital, for just £3. In fact, we'll only charge you £2.99 if you go paperless. To subscribe to the print version and get your first three copies for just £3, go to wisdomsubs.com and use the offer code, all in capitals, WCM3FOR319. To subscribe to the digital version and get your first three copies for just £2.99, go to pktmags.com/WCMpod. We'll see you tomorrow. Listen to us on Spotify, the podcast app, Acast, all that stuff. That's all from us. Join us tomorrow. Cheers.
Podcast Network.